Welcome everyone, it's great to see you here to our last 3CL seminar. My name is Felix Sefek, I'm one of the co-directors of 3CL, and it's a great pleasure welcoming Professor William Magnusson. He's a professor of law at Texas A&M University School of Law. There he teaches corporate law, and prior to joining Texas A&M, he taught law at Harvard, worked as an associate in the mergers and acquisitions group of Sullivan and Cromwell, and served as a journalist in the Rome Bureau of the Washington Post. Among his publications are For Profit, A History of Corporations, Basic Books, 2022, and Blockchain Democracy, Technology, Law, and the Rule of the Crowd, published with Cambridge University Press in 2020. It's a great pleasure having you here, Billy. I'm so happy about this, and in particular, this being the last 3CL seminar of our academic year. It's an honor having you here, and we are very much looking forward to you speaking on the deep learning of hedge funds. Billy, the floor is yours, and welcome very much to Cambridge.
Oh. Well, thank you all so much for being here, and thank you to Felix for that kind introduction. And for having me to Cambridge. This is my second time visiting Cambridge, and I'm always reminded when I come here of what a wonder of the world it is. And it really has shown just how important it is to have these centers where people come together in the shared pursuit of knowledge. So it's really quite an honor to be here and to be able to spend this time with you. I look forward to our conversation. I'll try to keep my remarks relatively brief and relatively light so I can open up to questions for the last bit of the talk. Today, I'll be talking about artificial intelligence and hedge funds. Before I dive into the argument, I thought I would talk a bit about why I started into this project. Last year, I participated in a symposium at the Federal Reserve on innovation and derivatives. And every person who came up to speak that day spoke about artificial intelligence, from regulators to bankers to exchange operators. Their remarks always addressed machine learning and the concerns they had about this development. But what struck me most from this event was that despite the amazing amount of time spent discussing artificial intelligence, there was a surprising dearth of information about how and even if financial institutions were using artificial intelligence in their businesses. And so afterwards, I started looking at what regulators were saying about the issue, and I found a similar problem. Lots of comments about risks to investors and markets, but very little in the way of specifics. And let's be clear, this wasn't because of a lack of concern about artificial intelligence. In fact, if anything, the warnings from regulators have been dire. A couple years ago, the governor of the Bank of England stated that hedge funds and their use of complex statistical models were leading to fundamental changes in the nature of markets. SEC Chair Gary Gensler has said that it is nearly unavoidable that artificial intelligence will trigger a financial crisis in the next decade. The CFTC, IOSCO, and other financial regulators have also raised alerts about hedge funds' use of artificial intelligence in their models. And so part of this project was purely a research question. Are hedge funds, which we know to be leading edge adopters of financial technology, in fact using artificial intelligence and machine learning in their businesses? The second part was, if they are there gaps in our financial regulatory structure that might be raised by these new practices? And finally, if there are gaps, how might we close them? And that, in short, is what this project was aimed at doing, satisfying my own curiosity about what's happening at hedge funds and artificial intelligence, and second, begin to understand how we might change our laws to address the gaps. So I wanted to put forth, before I begin the discussion, my own argument in its entirety. I won't have any hidden agendas at the end. In short, I have found that first, machine learning strategies are widely used by hedge funds. Second, while machine learning strategies are largely an evolution of a long process of hedge funds using computerized strategies, the technology itself does raise some interesting new wrinkles about the ways that it interacts with financial regulations. And third, reforms are desirable to increase investor protection, protect systemic stability, and promote efficiency. One problem that I think this studies of this problem of hedge funds and artificial intelligence faces is what I call the sort of the mythology of artificial intelligence. And I think there's really two myths out there about artificial intelligence. One that is represented by what I call the Terminator myth. For those of you who have not seen this now ancient movie, it was about a killer machine that is a super intelligent computer that almost destroys the human race. On the other hand, we have the WALL-E myth. This is a sort of a fun-loving artificial intelligence that does everything for us, is a force for good, and allows us to just sit around watching Netflix all day. All right, so which one of these models are we heading towards? I don't think anybody in this room probably is gullible enough to believe either of these mythologies, but I do think that these myths play an important role both in the business world and in the policymaking sector. So I think it's important to resist these myths. I don't think that we're heading towards either one of these worlds. And in fact, I think the greatest risk from artificial intelligence, and in particular in the financial world, is the overestimation of its capabilities. In other words, that we're going to believe that it has capabilities that it does not, and that will create problems in our markets. So a bit of a primer on the ways that hedge funds interact in the stock market is probably helpful in order to understand how machine learning might change it. So for those of you who are not familiar with the history of hedge funds, turns out that, in fact, the definition of a hedge fund is surprisingly protean. It's not very easy to nail down what it is that exactly is a hedge fund and what is not. And the best way to really understand it is to understand its history. It began in 1949 when a journalist and sociologist named Alfred Winslow Jones created a, quote, hedged fund using a combination of his own savings and capital raised from other large actors. He called this pooled capital a hedged fund because of the two-pronged strategy he invented. First, he used leverage to acquire a significantly larger block of shares than would have been capable of without leverage. And then second, he reduced the overall risk of this portfolio by short selling, that is, betting against, the shares of companies that he believed to be most likely to be overvalued. The idea was to be able to improve aggregate performance while also hedging against broader market risk. It turned out this was a surprisingly and shockingly successful strategy in the market. Over the first 10 years, it returned 670%. When people started seeing the incredible returns that hedge funds were getting, other people started launching their own hedge funds. In the next two decades, we saw George Soros launch his famous fund. We had Ray Dalio launch Bridgewater, and we had Julian Robertson launch the Tiger Fund. And with these funds, new strategies emerged. So they started expanding into new areas: derivatives, currency trading, arbitrage, distressed investing, and activist investing. And as time went on, these hedge funds grew in size and scope. So today, the size of the five largest hedge funds is $1.6 trillion, measured by the notional value of their positions in markets. Globally, hedge funds control around $5 trillion in assets under management. Those are very, very large sums, and they're very, very large actors in the markets in which they are operating. They hold derivatives estimated around $20 trillion in value. But they've also been involved historically in a series of crises. So there was the famous case of George Soros breaking the pound in 1992. In 1998, the collapse of a quant hedge fund known as Long-Term Capital Management led to a crisis that nearly brought down several investment banks. And then in the great financial crisis of 2008, several hedge funds made big bets against the mortgage market and investment banks that in fact led to the bankruptcy of several investment banks. And this was all immortalized in Michael Lewis's book, The Big Short. So what are hedge funds doing with this money? Well, the way that they are structured is important to the way that they operate. In short, a hedge fund is a private pool of capital that is raised from institutional investors like sovereign wealth funds and university endowments and pension funds, and it's managed by professional traders. They're typically formed as limited partnerships, sometimes as limited liability companies, and the GP, that is the hedge fund itself, earns a combination of 2 and 20. Sometimes it varies, it can go to 1.5 to 30. But the basic idea is they get a fixed management fee, about 2% of their assets, and then a performance or incentive fee that's 20% of any profits. This is widely understood to be a highly incentive-driven business. In other words, they are highly incentivized to create profits quickly, because if they don't, investors will withdraw their money. But it's also been structured largely around avoiding the central pillars of financial regulation. And in particular, the at least in the United States, the Securities Act, the Securities Exchange Act, the Investment Company Act, and the Investment Advisors Act, because they want to avoid the extensive disclosure regimes of the securities laws, as well as be able to permit incentive and performance fees that wouldn't be permitted under other regulatory structures. So this is a largely regulation-free area. They engage in various strategies from long-short, that's the Alfred Winslow Jones model, to activist investing, taking large stakes in public companies and then using their shareholder rights to advocate for changes. Arbitrage, this is involving trying to find disparities in price between similar assets. For example, you buy a stock on one market and then a stock on another exchange and the prices are slightly different and you can get profits based on that. Or maybe there's a convertible bond that can be convertible into a stock. And then finally, the one that is perhaps most relevant to artificial intelligence is the high-frequency trading strategy. These are a variety of strategies that are based basically on the ability to execute quickly, high-speed trading. One common one is momentum trading, right? So a stock starts moving up. Oftentimes, it continues to move up for a period of time, and so a high-frequency trader will be able to take advantage of those trends. So that's the way that the hedge funds are operating today, the way that they're structured and some of their key regulations. How are they changing now that they are adopting artificial intelligence? So again, like hedge funds, artificial intelligence is also a somewhat ill-defined area. Right? Historically, it was sort of a generic term for any time a computer was behaving intelligently. That is the way that we wanted it to behave, right? A computer in some versions of artificial intelligence is simply a calculator. Right? If a calculator is doing the operations more quickly than a human, then it is artificial intelligence. But over time, it has been honed. One classic test is the 1952 Turing test that was initially called the imitation game. Turing test asks, in order to determine whether something is artificially intelligent, it asks whether a machine can formulate written responses to questions in such a way that it would be functionally indistinguishable from a human. It's an interesting question. Maybe we could talk about in the question and answer question section whether or not today's modern LLMs have satisfied the Turing test. In the last decade, though, artificial intelligence really has turned into a subfield of computer science known as machine learning. Whereas previous iterations of artificial intelligence had focused on developing more and more intricate rules for artificial intelligence models, machine learning is based on an algorithm that draws rules or generates rules from data. And so you feed a machine learning algorithm a large data set, and the model identifies trends in that data and then makes predictions about the world. So a typical way that this might work is that you will have a training set of data, and that is the data that the machine learning algorithm analyzes for patterns, and then a testing set, that is outside data that the machine learning algorithm will then test its rules on to see whether these rules are working, are achieving the results they want. Deep reinforcement learning is a subset in turn of machine learning, and that involves a series of neural networks. And these neural networks identify patterns in data, and then they will pass them along to the next layer of neural network, which will in turn identify patterns within the patterns, and then they'll pass it on to the next level, which will in turn identify patterns within the patterns within the patterns. And it turns out that this is a remarkably effective way of analyzing all sorts of problems in the real world, including language. This is a tremendously useful way to analyze language because language follows similar patterns, right? We all speak in sentences and we have nouns and verbs. And it's the progress of artificial intelligence over the last decade has shocked even long-term researchers, right? That we've all played around with Claude and ChatGPT and Gemini. But it also has lots of application to the things that hedge funds do. So it's hard to overstate just how widespread machine learning has become in the hedge fund world. So 9 out of 10 hedge funds say that they are using artificial intelligence in their business. An investigation of the US Senate Committee on Homeland Security last year found that every hedge fund that they surveyed was using artificial intelligence in one of its integral functions. Large hedge funds like Bridgewater, D.E. Shaw, Two Sigma have created specific machine learning departments. They've hired some of the most prominent computer scientists in the world. And they've launched AI-driven funds, hedge funds that make decisions purely based on machine learning strategies. Small hedge funds, like companies like Numerai, are holding open contests where data scientists come in and compete to create the best machine learning algorithm for an investment strategy. Other hedge funds like Minotaur Capital have no analysts at all. Instead, they use large language models to research market trends and then issue investment reports. And in a sign of just how intertwined hedge funds and artificial intelligence have become, one of the most innovative AI models of the last couple years is a model called DeepSeek, which came out of a Chinese company. But that Chinese company originally started as a hedge fund. I'm sure that Douglas Arner may be familiar with this. So DeepSeek was created just a couple years ago, and this Chinese hedge fund was using artificial intelligence to create strategies to trade on the Chinese stock market. It ended up being shut down when Chinese regulators believed it was too speculative. And they're using this in many different ways. So obviously the first is just research. Artificial intelligence is very powerful at analyzing large amounts of data and then drawing patterns from it. And so we've seen that hedge funds are using it in their data analysis and research to be able to draw information from hard-to-reach sources and identify trends based on those sources. D.E. Shaw has its own machine learning research group. And they're processing tremendous amounts of data. One of the key drawbacks of our machine learning is that in order to create a useful model, you have to have a lot of data. Terabytes of data in order to achieve the kind of success that they want. And so that's the kind of the amount of information that they're drawing from the market today. They're also using it for portfolio construction. That is how to identify a set or a basket of assets that will be profitable. They're structuring their investments based on these machine learning trends that they're adopting. So Citadel is using machine learning to create signals that are then incorporated into the firm's quantitative strategies. Man Group, a UK-based hedge fund, has its own proprietary AI model called ManGPT that employees are using for idea generation. And here's just a chart of its use. So they create it in May 23, and within a matter of month, of 10 months, this has almost gone up to almost 80% of employees are using it, and they're using it quite frequently, 400,000 messages. In a matter of 10 months. And the conversations are increasing, right? This is something that has become a daily user for the average hedge fund manager. And then finally, they're also using it for trading. We've already talked about how Bridgewater has launched an AI-driven hedge fund, but other numerous hedge funds have also adopted AI-based trading. That is, the machine learning algorithm executes the trade independently of human intervention. The big question, of course, is this going to lead to better returns for the hedge funds that adopt them? And the answer is we don't know yet. Here's a set of machine learning driven ETFs compared to the S&P 500. And as you can see, we have different results, right? So some are underperforming the S&P 500. Some are overperforming. In general, the over the five-year trend, if we look at the Amplify AI, which is one of the better performing ones, the five-year trend underperforms S&P 500. But when you get to the one-year trend, it's overperforming. So it's unclear whether it's improving in the long term. One study found that overall hedge funds that have adopted machine learning have slightly underperformed the S&P 500 over the last 5 years. Okay, so that's what's happening in the world of quantitative hedge fund strategies. How does this interact with our regulatory structure? My overarching point here is that while artificial intelligence does create new risks, they're not entirely new categories of risks. Instead, they're exacerbating old risks, right? For decades now, financial markets have been shifting towards more and more algorithmic strategies, right? The days of brokers standing in the Royal Exchange, trading buy and sell orders are over, right? Now, machine learning is out there. Algorithmic trading is out there. But machine learning does create some unique features that are slightly anomalous for our regulatory structure. And I'd just like to talk about a couple of them. Before I do though, it is worthwhile pointing out that machine learning may create lots of value. It might lead to better research and analysis. It might lead to more efficient prices, faster price formation. And it also provides, in a way, a more level playing field, right? If anybody can gain access to the world's most powerful AI models, then anybody has the power to engage in AI-based trading. In fact, in several conversations when I presented this project in the past, people have come up to me and said, oh yeah, I created, using ChatGPT, a strategy, and I've been outperforming the market. Now, you wonder whether this is going to outperform in the long term and whether they're fully disclosing what they're really doing. But it is an important point, right? People are using this. You're just sort of average day traders are using these strategies. But there are risks. And I think that probably the most important one is that it creates a set of new systemic actors, right? It's well known that machine learning algorithms require tremendous amounts of data and computing power. And what this means in practice is that most artificial intelligence models that are being used by hedge funds are not, in fact, generated in-house. Instead, they are plugging into the largest models, such as ChatGPT or Claude, through either APIs or through siloed containers in the cloud. But what this means is that it introduces a new systemic actor, that is the AI companies themselves, right? And that creates a lot of risks. The possibility of adversarial attacks on the AI model, the dangers of models being corrupted, or everyone adopting the same strategies, the possibility of the model going down one day. Now, this has happened in the past. An SEC investigation disclosed that Two Sigma, a hedge fund, had a machine learning model that was improperly modified by an employee and that led to the firm being unable to execute trades for a period of time. There's also a question about the ambiguities that are contained within our current regulatory structure. So, insider trading is one of the areas that this is probably most concerning. Insider trading law, at least in the United States, is a notoriously convoluted structure, and its doctrine fits awkwardly with machine learning strategies. There's a variety of hypotheticals that you could imagine, but to begin with, it is a black box. Machine learning algorithms are very difficult to understand the precise reasons why they're engaging in a particular strategy. And if that is the case, how do we know that a particular decision of an AI algorithm is based on insider data or not insider data? There's also new avenues for confidential information to leak out, right? How confidential is it when a user makes a query on an AI model, either formally or informally, right? Are they going to have, is some employee going to have access to user queries? It was recently discovered that a large batch of ChatGPT queries, many of them that were about very personal things like divorce and lawsuits, was publicly available through search engines. In one remarkable study, a researcher found that an AI bot that was built using ChatGPT engaged in insider trading even when it was told explicitly not to engage in insider trading And then it would repeatedly lie to the user after the fact about whether it had engaged in insider trading. And so these are real concerns. And I should point out that the AI companies themselves do not have very user-friendly terms and conditions. So OpenAI, for example, claims that it can collect personal data about users, including your name, your location, and your searches, that it can use this data to provide any service it wishes, including developing new product features, and that it may provide that data to third parties to perform, quote, certain services and functions. They can do anything with your data if they wish. I'm going to zoom through the last couple concerns. There's also a worry about stock market crashes. If everyone is using the same models and they all go into the same strategies, is this going to make financial bubbles longer and higher? Manipulation, are we going to have hacks? Are we going to have national security agencies hacking into AI models and making trades based on them or trying to get insider information? And then a general question about fairness. If everything is shifting over to machine learning, will the retail average retail investor always be at a disadvantage? Are they going to be shifting over and all to index funds? So finally, how might we reform our regulations to better address these problems? I don't have any easy answers here. I think there's basically three models. One is what I say is the current model, at least in the United States. I think it is different in Europe, which is the laissez-faire model, which assumes that basically hedge funds are highly incentivized. They're out to pursue profit. Regulation is just going to be undesirable and costly. It's just going to get in the way of their strategies. And if these strategies don't work, they'll die out and these companies will no longer continue to exist. And if they are effective, then that will improve price formation and capital efficiency. The palace economy model would say, no, the laissez-faire theorists are all entirely wrong, right? There is no reason why the default rule should be that we can't create democratic rules for our economy. That is the way that people exchange trades and services. We should instead be thinking about what does market success look like, right? Should we force hedge funds to have greater disclosure about what kinds of strategies they're using? And if they are creating new risks for markets, should we be able to enforce sort of rules on cybersecurity and greater access to the algorithms? We might also think about strengthening liability regimes, making sure that either hedge funds themselves or the AI companies are responsible for harms that they create in the market. And then finally, a third model, what I call the tech industrial complex model, is, I think honestly, this is the way that things are going in the US government today, is greater cooperation between the tech companies and the government. If you think of artificial intelligence as being a matter of national security, and you want your companies to be the ones at the cutting edge, then perhaps you start engaging in subsidies, credits, creating and subsidizing this industry. These are all, I think, plausible avenues for addressing these problems. But I do think that AI has arrived in a big way at hedge funds, that it's already changing market dynamics, and that it's creating friction with our regulatory structure. So with that, I'll stop and open it up for questions.